Welcome to the Diary 101 podcast. I am your host, Aka Kandiola Kandepe, also known as Aka. I'll keep saying Happy New Year because every time it's a new year, you just continue saying Happy New Year, Happy New Year. I think I say it for 6 months. It's just a good way of just saying it. So if you're new to this podcast, welcome. My name is Aka. I'm the host, like I mentioned. And how can I do this? I'm kind of excited, but a little bit nervous because I've had this guest on my list for a long time. But I'm glad we get to do this and we get to dive into a conversation all about finances. A little background, I am an accounting student, but I'm very passionate about finances and personal finance and just learning more about money and how you can make your wealth. So I also feel like the next few episodes are just me diving into that. It's a new year. You kind of want to know, how do you set yourself up for greatness when it comes to your finances and just everything else in your life, and who you should be following online and the people doing the most in that sector in Zambia. And if you're not Zambian, hey, you could also just learn more about the financial space in Zambia if you're interested to invest, start a business. It's a whole thing. So with all that being said, I'd like to introduce today's guest, Malele. Hi.
Hi, Aka. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Did I pronounce your name correctly? I had to say that in my head again. Did I miss it?
Almost.
That's going to be an interesting conversation. Well, at least I'm here.
Yeah, you'll get it eventually.
I will. Probably by the end of this episode, I will get it. I think that's the one thing I struggle with having a podcast, is how exposed I am and how I do not know how to pronounce certain names or words. Very interesting. I would say embarrassing, but I'm over it. But so it's like, at least everybody knows now.
Yeah, I understand.
So if you could describe 2024, how would you describe it?
That's a very interesting question. I think 2024 for me has been a very different year. I often say it has been the hardest year for me, but within this same very year, I have so much to be grateful for. I have so many blessings to count. So it has been a tough year, but I'm here. I mean, I still find joy. I'm still happy. So in the midst of the chaos, I think there's still a lot of blessing. There's still things I am grateful for and things I'm very joyful for. Yeah, so that's how I would describe my 2024. It's been an amazing year, but it's been a mix. Let me just say it's been a mix.
Yeah. Let me say, I like certain words you're saying, and I feel like you're emphasizing on them. You're saying there's so much to be grateful for, there's so much to be joyful for. One of my favorite podcasters, I don't know which one will say this, but I think I'll stick with Simon Sinek. He always talks about how you kind of have to find joy in everything. Like, happiness is like so temporal, right? Like, you can be happy now and you can be sad. Like, you can be happy now in this process of recording this and you can be sad. But every time you find a way of finding joy in every little thing or just enjoying, and probably that's why I always ask my guests to, I hope you enjoy the process. Not that I hope you're happy with it. I doubt it. It's hard. Happiness always feels like a really high standard. But like joy, it's like you can find joy in drinking water, in washing plates, in anything you do. So I'm kind of glad that you're emphasizing that. And if you'd pick three things you are grateful for concerning 2024, what would that be?
The number one thing I'm grateful for is, so the reason I say 2024 has been a hard year for me is because I lost my father in June. And that loss, as hard as it was, it made me appreciate my family more. It made me appreciate my mom more, my sisters more. And one of the things I'm grateful for is their presence. And one thing I'm aspiring to do more, even in the next year, is to spend more time with my mom, spend more time with my sisters, because I think I got to a realization where I realized I grew up with my sisters, yes, but for the most part, I was busy making friends, chilling with friends, that I feel like I haven't spent enough time with them. And they are ladies, they'll be getting married soon and things will be different. So yeah, I'd like to spend more time with them. And that's one thing I'm grateful for. I'm grateful for my mom. I'm grateful for my sisters. I'm also grateful for the opportunities that I've had this year. I've been into, or I've met people I never thought I'd meet. Even being on this podcast, I've seen the criteria of the guests that you have. Very interesting, very, should I say, high profile people. And to be able to have such opportunities and such connections is a privilege. I'm grateful for that. And also, I'm learning to be grateful for my job. I wasn't very happy on my job, but I am learning to be grateful for it more, because it provides so many things for me. It provides so many opportunities for me as well. So I think those three things from the top of my head, those three things, yeah, my family, my job, I'm learning to be more grateful for it, and also the opportunities and the people I've got to meet this year. I'm really grateful for that.
I like that. I can relate to a lot of stuff. Maybe mine is different. I also lost my sister in 2024. Somehow the same time, but it was in April for me. And yeah, you kind of realize how fragile things are and how one decision can just drastically change everybody's life. And you also realize, like, grief is a whole process. 1 minute you're fine, the next minute you're in a turmoil, and sometimes I think people expect you to get over it, but it's like, I just can't get over somebody who I had in my life for like 28 years. They're like born before me, and it's a whole thing, right? So yeah, I kind of understand. I think maybe that's also what, like, one of the reasons why I had to reschedule some of our sessions.
Oh yeah, I understand that.
I also just reached a point where that winter period, I was just in a bad state mentally. I had to, like, the podcast had to go on a break for me to just say I am anxious, I don't enjoy doing this anymore. Like there are so many moments when I say I don't want to do the podcast anymore. Especially with my family, because my family is always watching. So, and I can be very honest. I'm not very honest with people. I don't know. If you ask me how's the podcast, I'll smile. But if I'm with my brother and he just goes like, "Hey, how are you doing? How's the podcast?" I'm like, "It sucks, and I'm tired." And he takes that for that, right? It's a feeling in the moment. It's very valid. And he still sees the episodes released every week. So.
No, I understand. There too, you know, you. And what was surprising for me is learning that I could feel so much pain, so much grief as a man. Because when you're living life as a man, usually there's a lot of emotions that we brush away, right? It could be a hug. Your girlfriend leaves you, you'd be like, whatever. I hope on the next train, right? But now you lose someone you can't replace, because you can't replace a family. And then it really breaks you in all the places you thought you were strong, right? So even for me to come back online and create content, it was hard for me. I had to go on a break for the rest of June and July. I tried to come back in August. I still wasn't feeling it. I was like, let me extend the break. And until I got to a point where I could now continue doing it, bit by bit. Yeah, so I understand you.
I get it. And honestly, I always like to mention now that I'm so grateful for the men in my life, my uncles,
Yeah.
right? I do not take lightly what they do for the family. And it's because I have seen it, right? Like the certain things that I just won't do. Because I'm calling my dad and I'm going to call my uncles and I'm just going to say like this doesn't make sense in my head. I'm such a girl for this, right? And it's so weird when you're a feminist that I lean more to men now because I'm just like I do not have the mental capacity for this. I am not going to do this. I have men in my life that take care of my well-being as a human being, as a girl.
Yeah.
That the world is too harsh for me to just brush it off and say I can do it on my own. So yeah, I feel it. That period we had so many funerals and I wasn't even in the country when it happened and I traveled back to Zambia and I also like went to because the funerals ended in Osaka, so I had to travel to a different city. And then when I arrived, we had two different funerals in two different locations and these were like the eldest in the family. So the
Wait,
logic is really easy. Yeah, like two in the family, you have two funerals, the elders, and it's like different locations, right? So it means everybody has to split. Like others have to go to this funeral, others have to go to this funeral, and I think they're all buried on the same day or the day after. I don't know. When I
Wow.
arrived home, I found missed calls, and you know what? In my family, I'm just like, if they're all calling me this so many times. Someone died, but then I was so shocked that it was like the elders. I just said, "You all of you are the best. I am not in Osaka. I can't travel for anything. I'm in a different town." And my uncle was like, "I am so tired." And I was like, "Bro, I love you, but you guys are going through the most. I know we're all going through the most as a family, but I could see how strained everybody was emotionally, physically, mentally, financially." In that period, like you could just see, but everybody's still showing up, you know? Like they're still showing up, like you still have to do this. And I was like, and you people are telling me I should do the same things men are doing. I can't. Major respect. And it's like literally shout out to my uncles. They do the most. I lean to my family the most. It's like men really, and this is a thing, right? Like just because people advocating for equal rights, feminism, equity and everything doesn't mean we should take away the fact what men do for us in our life.
That's true. Yeah,
Yeah, it's
that's
like
true.
there are lines we shouldn't cross because I don't know if you want to do it because me I don't. It's a point I'm reaching. And a lot of people get surprised. I have moments where I'm just seated and I'm like, I have to figure this out. I'm like, okay, cool. Let me call someone. I literally just make one phone call and they're like, oh no, don't do that. Wait, I'll do it for you. Give me a few minutes. I'm just like, oh, okay. Call a man. And when I say man, I mean call your relatives, the men in your life. They'll literally solve it for you. So honestly, I kind of feel like I think your role has changed now. After your dad's passing, so honestly, your sisters will probably still lean towards you, even if they get married, because a lot goes on in marriage too. And honestly, it just feels good to have your relatives. Like me, I know. Ask me this whole year. I don't think we're talking about it enough. I personally will call my relatives. For the smallest thing ever, I make my relatives very busy. Even for things I can do on my own, there's no way. I think I was telling one of my uncles yesterday that there's no reward for being a strong soldier. Nothing. A man
There's
or a woman,
no.
reward. Being the strongest
Oh,
soldier. You know how you're like in God's strongest soldiers list? And sometimes I think we laugh about that. But if you just ask for help, you'd be surprised how you don't need to do that. Probably if you just ask for help, somebody can help, somebody can come through, somebody can lift the burden. But because we're in a generation where a lot of us don't know how to communicate that we need help, and we always assume that no one wants to help.
That's a problem. I think there's a perfect balance. Even we're talking about the masculine femininity spectrum. Yeah, there are things I see women do, which I also say
Want to do you. It's unnecessary.
yeah, exactly. There's this saying that women like to say, what a man can do, a woman can do better. And yeah, but do you really have,
Depends.
and do you really have to, right? Of course, you can
And it
do
also
better.
depends, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it also depends, right? If you think about it, there are certain things I just don't want to do, right? Like, I can do it, like lift a bag and put it on my trolley. I can do that. But I'll ask for help because I don't have to. You know what I mean? Like, I know the difference.
Yeah,
Like,
that's exactly what
I
I
can
mean.
do that, but I don't have to. Like, I can't, there's no need for me to do that. You know, like, there's somebody to help me put that on my trolley because I shop alone and I live alone and it's a whole thing, right? I think it depends. I think mostly, I don't know how I can put it without not for offending people, but I think it should be a personal decision on what you can do better against what a man can do. I don't think it should be put in the same box because I don't think I fit. I used to think I fit in that box. 2 years of living alone has taught me no, I don't. I don't have to do that. It's like there's no need. There's no need. Like, there's no need for me to do that. I have parents and I'll call them. Yeah, so it depends, honestly. But please continue.
So I'm saying it's about finding the balance, because just because, sometimes we are so quick to adopt certain, especially courts. I think people are so quick to adopt courts. You just see a court, what a man can do, a woman can do better, and then you say, no, I'll do everything a man can do. But you don't have, like, you can pick the things that you can do that you want to do, right? But just begin everything, Yeah, so like you've said, it depends. You have to pick out the things you are willing to do, not just because a man can do it, let me prove that I can do it better on everything.
And
That's not a very effective.
who are you proving it to? No one really cares, to be honest.
Exactly.
I don't. I'm like, I won't do it, right? And I think I had a conversation. I was at a work and we had like a late night and we're having conversations about relationships, right? And how one of my coworkers thought that feminism has gone up the notch, right? Like, it's really up the notch. And I said, you know what? I wouldn't throw a stone to the people that work so hard for women to be here. Because we do not know the what was happening 100 years ago, like even 50 years, and you know what, it's still even happening now, right? Like I wouldn't throw a stone, right? But what's also what feminism is bringing to light is okay, we're now at a place where we might, it's not equal, but we might be very, we should be very conscious on what we say, and maybe money should now start to be invested if it's not even like equally, like, but it should not just be about women. Like, n now invest in men because we'll be in a society where we have very empowered men, women with very low esteemed men because they're not empowered as a women, right? Yeah, that's how we're heading. Like, honestly, you have to be very, you have to have like, and if you're dating a very successful person, for example, if you're dating me and you have low esteem, it's gonna cost you a lot because then you'd be thinking everything is about you. And sometimes it's just that you're not exposed enough to certain things that would help you. So I told her to say that what we are now facing in our generation, or the three generation, is that everybody has money. So women were more inclined to men because of money, and men were more inclined to women because of emotional support and everything a woman can do, right? Now, because a woman has money, let's talk about this table, for example, that everybody talks about. I don't, but yeah, we can bring the table in the conversation. Now, because everybody has money, So now everybody's putting that money on the table to say, I have this amount, I have this amount. Apart yes. from this, what do you bring? And what do you bring? How do you bring me peace? How do you bring me this and that and that and that? And you get to realize that why we're having so many damaged relationships or broken relationships is men have not been taught how to cultivate relationships far from money.
That's true.
So now it's like women are good at it. Like, we're so good at it. We have friends. I'm an example. I'm always with my friends.
Right? Yeah.
Women are good at it. Men are not. And men are just sticking to the old ways instead of them now thinking of ways of how you can cultivate a relationship and keep safeguard it and keep it without using money as a tool. Because now you can't threaten the women without money. Like, you are in this space. How do you feel about that? Like, you're seeing it unfold.
Okay. So for me, I don't really think in terms of money problems, right?
Yeah.
Where you find there are problems with money, there's something over there, right? So in terms of dating, where now you have, like you said, everyone is making money. Yes. It goes back to tell you that there's something deeper we need to be looking at. And I'm a very, I don't know if I should say very spiritual person, but I'm quite a spiritual person, and I like to live my life using the blueprint of the Bible. And every time I ask God this question, God always tells me about restoration, right? We need to go back to how God intended for things to be. Yeah. And remember, this money we've made everything all about wasn't there in the beginning, right?
Those bad exchange.
but when we look at the very beginning, right?
Yeah.
This thing called money wasn't there before even trade was a thing. Right, before economies began to develop the way we know them today, money wasn't there, right? So then what was the role of the men? What was the role of the women, right? So what I would say is understanding your role as a man. I don't know if I'm going to talk about it from a boyfriend or husband perspective, but generally speaking.
Also, I like, wait, sorry to cut you short. I think what you're talking about is marriage. I don't think a lot of things apply in just a relationship. There should be a difference on how it is. Okay, somebody should showcase. Everybody should, whatever yeah. that looks like for everybody. But certain things are for marriage, right? So
yes.
Yeah. Okay, I just wanted to put that out there.
Okay, so is your question based on like relationships, not marriage?
I would say both, but I want you to also think about it when you because you brought in the Bible, right?
Yeah.
For the Bible, it's marriage. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you could still talk about both, but I want everybody to realize that certain things that we talk about from the Bible, it's about marriage. It's not yeah. about a relationship. Like, you're asking a man to provide. God said he should provide for his wife. What do you mean? He should provide for his girlfriend. You're asking the wife to be submissive. But didn't he say to the husband? Like, I'm just saying. Anyway, I might be wrong, but yeah.
No, you're correct. Yeah, you're very correct. So, okay, let's start with relationship.
Yeah.
Right? So in a healthy relationship, obviously, you have this desire to get married one day.
Yeah.
All right. So the best way a woman, if we're looking at it from the perspective of a woman, the best way a woman can handle this financial thing that we're talking about is looking at the man's capacity or capability to lead financially, right? We always talk about money management, right? Everybody knows about money management, but very few people talk about money leadership, right? And that money leadership is now creating a vision for the money, right? Management is how you will now achieve that vision. So does a man have a vision for his money, right? Of course, he can be managing his money very well, but ultimately, what is that money going to achieve? When you look at money, you mentioned something that money is a tool, right? And what is that tool helping that man get to, right? Of course, he's good at managing his money. He can have that. But ultimately, where is that management leading him to? And I think also looking at it from the man's perspective, talking about it in terms of particularly looking at the woman, women, I think for me, what I would like to see in a woman is a level of control, because women want everything. If you've ever walked behind a woman in town or in the market, they look like they want everything at this, they're looking at everything and they want everything, right? So I would like to see a level of control over finances, right? This is something I even hear my friends complain about in marriage. They'll be like, no, I gave her money for transport for about a week, right? Just yesterday. And today she's saying, no, I need money for transport. Like, what do you mean? So I like to tell them, but so you see those things, right?
No, but in my defense, I like stuff I can afford, right? Or maybe because I'm financially literate. So I have my 50-30-20, right?
Mm.
So I save 20, I spend 30 on luxuries. I probably save more than 20, then 50 on expenses. Trust me, I am spending my 30 on stuff I like. Mm. Guaranteed. Like, why? And sometimes look, I do think I'm an overspender, but I make that money. I can relate.
Yeah.
But spending is fun.
Indeed. Spending is fun, right? But there are those functions of money we can talk about. And unfortunately, the only one we tend to focus so much on is the money as a tool of exchange, as a tool of trade. That's the one most people tend to focus on. But there's another one for unit of value, store of value, right? Mm-hmm. Those things. So we are supposed to understand them as well. So in the context of a relationship, if we're talking about it from a financial perspective, I think those things can be a guiding light. But then the relationship has to do with more than just money. If the relationship was just about money, we wouldn't see the richest people in the world going through divorces, right? So So I think, I don't know if we can dive into other aspects, but
yeah, we can. And I just want to say, it was just opening a door, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you talked about like the functions of money. So it stores value. It's an exchange. And what's the third one?
Unit of value.
Let's break this down. And let's give examples.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the way to take it is, okay, let's start with the exchange, right?
Yeah.
The term of exchange. This is the easiest to understand. We use money to spend. We use money to buy the things that we want, right? Everyone is good at this one. I don't think this one requires a lot of explaining, right? Then the other one is, am I forgetting? Store of value, right? Store of value. So I tell people that it doesn't matter how much money you make, right? If you're not able to retain any of it, you're not keeping any value, right? And when specifically on this one, we can talk about things like net worth, right? Your net worth is not about, it's not about how much money you spend. It's about how much money you are able to keep and grow. That's what increases your net worth. And money gives us this opportunity through this function, right? Then unit of value. Unit of value, right? So remember, there's a time I was asking God, like there's this system that there's a chapter in Ecclesiastes 5 verse 9, which says the profit of the earth is for all men, right? But then that's the intention of God. That's how God intended that the earth should profit every man on earth. But now you come to the earth, and then there's a system that has been put in place. Many will call it the Babylonian system, others will call it the matrix, different names. But there's this system that's in place that you have to reach certain standards to acquire, right? So now, this unit of value, if we remove the system, right? The question is, if I were to ask you, Aka, how would you benefit from the earth, right? There's no system. You don't have to have a degree. You don't have to have a certain connections with people. The system is not there. We've removed it. There's just the earth. You can benefit from it. How would you benefit from it? It goes back now to value,
Yeah.
right? The value that you have is what will give you access to profit from the earth.
Yeah.
And now, what money in the system now brings is that it puts a unit of value, right? When they say if you can fix a TV, right, the extent to which you can fix a television set, they will attach a value to it, a unit to it. Let's say it's 5,000 to fix a TV, right? That is depending on your value now, right? So value is already there. Money only gives it a unit, or let's say a number, right? Value is always there. You can talk of things like gold. Gold is valuable, right? But without money, how do you know how much worth it is, right? Money gives it that unit. So you can say, no, 1 kilogram of gold is this much. Money is now giving it that unit. So now we can understand value in terms of numbers, right? So the unit of value. They say if you want to increase your how much money you can make in the economy, you increase your value, right? So understanding these three things. The exchange, the medium of exchange, everyone understands this. We love spending. Everyone loves spending. If you find someone who doesn't love spending, I think there's something wrong with them.
True.
So, yeah, store of value about wealth, right? How much wealth, how much money can you keep? How much money can you grow? Unit of value is your value now having a price, or the value of something having a price that we can even understand it better. Imagine life without money, right? How would you buy? And that was the problem with the barter system again, like measuring the value of something, right? But money makes that now easier. So those are the three functions of money. Let's not just look at the medium of exchange. Let's also have a net worth. We store our value. Let's also increase our value because we are measured economically by this unit of value. Yeah.
I find that like very interesting because you kind of reminded me of like one of my favorite philosophers. His name is Earl Nightingale, right? He always
Yeah.
talks about how I think Earl Nightingale and Napoleon Hill. Because Earl Nightingale likes to talk about Napoleon Hill's work. Always talks about before you ask for money, you have to give value, right? Like you can't ask the fire, you can't ask the wood to light up fire, or you can't ask for fire and you don't have wood. You know what I mean?
That's a
That
good
makes
one,
sense.
yeah.
Yeah, like you can't, and you also can't. The same way I have no power at home. I can't ask the stove to go on. I have no power. Right, like so there's some there's always have to be you first. So money will always come later, and that's why somehow success comes after, like success with money comes later, because you get to realize that I'm an example of that. I am successful actually, right? But
Yes.
I don't have the money I want. That doesn't mean that I'm not successful. Only with a certain amount of value that I bring to a certain amount of time, then that money will start accumulating. I am giving value, even with the podcast. Like I am giving value. But as that value grows, you just be surprised one day I have so much money. So it's like, we don't actually talk about that a lot. I wish we talked about Aaron Nightingale and Napoleon Hill's work a lot, because then you get to realize, or you get to learn that a lot, to say, okay, so I'm doing this, but this and this can actually happen, and why this isn't happening now is because of that. And I think now this could let us jump into investments, right? We live in a world where people want instant gratification instead of delayed gratification. So this is why we would rather spend our money and get instant stuff than delay the gratification and get our rewards 10 years later. So what do you think about the investment sector in Zambia so far, and concerning with people our age, young people?
I think from what I've seen, so when we're talking about financial literacy, there are basically only three things we're talking about. Number one is making money. Number two is keeping and growing money. Number three is spending money. And so I used to work at Prudential as a sales agent, right? And I was selling insurance, and Prudential has a number of investing policies, right?
Yeah.
So you'd find that a lot of people I would approach, what they wanted were loans and not investing policies, right? Investment policies. And I think this is because we've fallen so much in love with the process of making money, right? Which we don't even understand to a very healthy extent, right? So people need to get past this, because like I said, it doesn't matter how much money you make if you are unable to keep any, right? So think of money as water, right? Flowing. There's the source, which is your income, right? And then between point, let's say we have three points, A, B, C. Between point A and C, there's point B. Point B is your reservoir, right? Point C is the outlet, right? So the reservoir is now the money you retain, the money you keep.
Yeah.
And think of it now as your net worth, right? If you have no reservoir, the money will come in and the water will come in and the water will go out directly. There is no money that is retained there. So the moment you lose that income, you find that you might have been called a rich person, but the moment you lose that income, you find that you're back to being called broke, right? Because you've neglected this reservoir where you're supposed to build your net worth from, right? So when it comes to investing, a lot of people don't understand this. Just because they're making a lot of money, they think they are okay. Unfortunately, the investing space isn't really a pretty place to look at in Zambia. Just from the stock market alone, the numbers tell us that less than 1% of Zambia's population is investing in the stock market, right? Which tells you it's not a pretty picture. And one of the reasons is the one you said, where people are looking for instant gratification. People would rather opt for things like Forex. I'm not saying Forex is bad.
Yeah.
Things like Forex, things like Bitcoin, because they promise easy and quick money, right? If you're doing forex for the right reasons, I'm sure you'll be able to make money. If you're doing cryptocurrencies, a lot of people are scammed on crypto because they did not understand it fully, right? Yeah. So people are looking for quick money, right? But to grow money takes time. To grow money takes time, and that's what we need to understand. Number one is I think people need to put a balance between making money and keeping money. Usually the problem with most people is that they're not making enough money, because if you have enough money, you have enough money to save and enough money to spend, right? So the first place people need to look at is their income, right? Before we even start talking about investing, I often tell people who come to my class that this is not a class about making money. It's about a class on growing money. Right. So if you find it hard to invest, look at the income. Is it enough for you to invest and spend? Because you might have expenses that you actually need, and those needs make it impossible for you to invest. So go back to your income again. Are you making enough money? If you're not, try to, we've talked about increasing your value, trying to increase your value through a side hustle. Right, any other means that you can find to make more money, right? Then you'll be able to have enough to spend, enough to save, and also invest. This is something a lot of people need to understand. We can't just be talking about not investing, investing, investing. The people who actually have low income that they can't even invest anything, people who are living hand to mouth, right? I can't go to someone who's living in a very shanty compound and start telling them about the stock market, right? Yes, it's a good deal, but again, this person has low income, right? For them to realize gains on this investment vehicle, it will probably take time, right? But they'll still need to eat. They'll still need to pay if school, luckily we have free education now, but there was a time people had to pay school fees, buy uniforms, and all of those things. Right. So one of the very first things they need to do is increase their income. Once they increase their income, they can start thinking of growing their money. You can't grow what you don't have, unfortunately. Right.
Facts. Facts. And also with just the current situation in Zambia, the way the inflation rate is actually increasing, in the back of my mind, I always do my inflation when I'm doing my grocery shopping. And I laugh. But well, I'm grateful I can still afford groceries, right? Like I'm like, gosh, I'm still grateful I can afford this, but at the rate we're going. So a lot of people are living hand to mouth. Like a lot of people don't really have an option. And also what you realize, there's so much expenses you can cut. I think it was my grandma, she's like, you could just cut some stuff and your grocery excess go down. I'm like, it won't go down. It will still increase next month, right? Like
Yeah,
it's still gonna be high next month. And it's I'll even feel worse because I now can't afford things I really want to have in the house. Like it's a need for me to have this in the house. So it's interesting. I want us to play around with a few words. We're gonna be playing around with a few words here. So there's poor, like if it well, the person is poor, broke, rich, and wealthy. What's the difference? So what's the difference when we say a person is poor, broke, rich, and wealthy? Yeah.
Okay, so we have poor, broke,
Rich and
rich,
wealthy.
and wealthy.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is how I would define these words. Let's start with poor. Poor is a long-term thing, right? When you're poor, you don't have money, right? To afford the basic things like food, water, rent. You're struggling at that level to provide for those things, right? But let's say someone has a stable job. They're able to afford rent, they're able to afford food, they're able to have a few They're able to have fun here and there, right? But they do not have anything in abundance. Right? You know what I mean? Yeah, they do not have anything in abundance. So broke doesn't really mean poor. You can have a stable income, right?
Yeah.
You have everything in your house, but you are not so much on the cash side, right? So okay, this one is a little tricky to explain. Broke is a state. You can be rich
broke.
And
is
broke.
Just a state. It's temporary,
yeah,
right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, anyone
I can
can
be broke now, but I might receive money in a few days.
Yeah. Exactly. So I like to tell people that I think from 2018, I've never had a time where I had no money, right?
Yeah.
But I've had so many days that I had no cash.
Yeah.
Right? But in that state, I could be broke, but I have money because I do not have cash.
Yeah.
Right? Because I have savings, I have a number of stocks here, I have investments here, but I don't have cash. So if
you
came to me and
cash
said,
flow. You're not liquid.
Yes.
You're just not liquid. You can't you can't meet your payments that are due, your liquid assets that are due that you need to pay
uh-huh.
for. Yeah.
Yeah. So I could have that, right? But if you found me walking down and said, "Oh, Amalali, buy me some pizza," I won't be able to, right?
Yeah.
But I'm broke at that point, but I'm not poor.
Yeah.
Right?
Ooh, I
also,
like the difference.
Yeah. So you can be financially stable, but you are still not financially free.
Free. Yes.
Right? So broke people usually, these are people with a stable job, but once you cut off that job, they go back to broke. Right? We can categorize them as those. Or there are those who have a number of assets, like a number of savings, but they do not have cash in that moment. Right? So you can say, I'm broke, but you still have money. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Then rich, I think rich, we can look at it from two points.
Yeah.
Right? There's what they call salary rich, where you have you could be getting, let's say, a 5,000 a month, right? But the only expenses you have are like maybe like a 1,500, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what people who are salary rich, because they do not incur a lot of expenses on their income, right? That's salary rich. Then also rich means people who are able to have a little bit of abundance, right? These are people who you see, they go on trips, South Africa, you find them in what are some of the favorite holiday destinations? I don't know, China, people would go to.
Wait,
Mauritius.
Why is China a holiday destination? I need help, but sure, China. I wouldn't intentionally go to China for holiday. I already have Chinese people in Zambia. I see enough. I would go to Hong Kong though, because I have friends. Okay, now I'm okay. No, I get it. I would go. I shouldn't say so much. Just in case you see me there.
Oh, yeah. I think recently I've just been seeing a lot of people going to China. I don't know if it's specifically
like
for
it's
business. Or... Oh, yeah.
Maybe. I also can't know, but yeah.
Ah, anyway, maybe. But I see a lot of people going to China, Japan, Korea, these Asian countries. I don't know what's there. Maybe it's business. But yeah. But these are people who are able to afford the leisure. They're able to afford leisure without feeling a pinch, right? Without their money suffering. Then when we talk about the wealthy, these are people we refer to as the financially free. They're living in abundance, right? When you talk about people like Elon Musk, we often say Elon Musk is rich, but he's also wealthy, because when you look at the number of assets that he has, his stock in Tesla is what makes him very wealthy. But then he owns Tesla, so Tesla has assets. He owns Twitter has assets. He owns SpaceX has assets. You can talk of people like even our president, HH, right? He owns a number of ranches. He owns a number of businesses. So these are people
Can the
who
man
are.
write a book? HH,
Sorry.
just HH, sorry. I'm very interested in our president's wealth. You know, let the man write a book for the rest of us. No, guys. I can't even be upset with him because maybe we're suffering and he's becoming more rich. Anyway, moving on, I do not want to be caught. Just
I
saying.
think our president is a little secretive, you know.
Our president is just too smart for the rest of us,
I think
guys.
so.
Like me, I'm always writing notes. Like, okay, guys. Because I don't even think the wealth that we know that he's this rich, because they said it, say it's like $400 million, right? I don't think that's the truth. I think you'll find our president is a billionaire and we don't know it.
It's possible because there's a number of assets he hasn't declared yet. Right?
It's
So
been 4 years. What do you mean the president hasn't declared? Well, at
and
least we knew he was already rich, though. I
can
didn't
expect
refer
him to
him
be
to the
rich now
other
that he's
guys. At least he was already rich. Because again, someone told me, like, why would you guys put a very rich president? My Indian friend, she said, why would you put a very rich person to be your president? It means they'll become more rich. And I was like, we already put a very poor person and they still became rich. The logic wouldn't make sense.
Yeah, there's no difference, I.
Logic, guys, no one is going to lie to me. Anything but ECL. But anyway, I'm not, I know sounds so very political, but I get like that when and then I meet the president. Guys. And I just have like a conversation for 5 minutes. I mean, I'm asking. Literally as a joke, but I'm asking. I'm like, okay, me, I need a book. I'm 24, I need a book. What am I not, what do I need to do now to be where you're at in 20 years? Or that I'm writing a book, but anyway, moving on. I love that man. I love our president, by
Yeah, I'm sure you write the thing, obviously.
way. No, he doesn't care like that, but sure. It's not that deep for the president, but cool, guys. Can't believe I had a
Yeah.
whole minute for the president. I hope his people listen to this or not. Ish, Lord.
Would be nice to have him on your podcast.
Would it? I don't think so. I don't think I am, and this is going out of topic. You, my, I like my, I like the president. I don't know how I feel about having him. Maybe after he's being, after he's not president anymore, because it's a lot of
Oh.
things he can't say, and
Oh, okay,
it's
I
not a
get it.
generic conversation. It can't be a conversation like this, because he's the president. You know, it's scripted.
Oh,
So it means I have a script, and of course I'll get good traction, good media, but it's very scripted. I can't. Yo, who knows what they'll do to me if I go off script? You, I mean, I'm just a girl, like not yet there.
Yeah, that's pretty serious.
I'm in Zambia. I don't need to take that risk. It's okay. Like, why are you trying to mess with the government? In Zambia. Okay, I've said a lot. You were talking about wealthy people.
Yeah, wealthy people are these that so we often call them as rich as well, but these are people who are rich, but with a number of assets, right? Obviously, with a diversified portfolio, they have a number of assets, different assets. Just like the example I gave of HH, he has a number of ranches. I think I was reading somewhere that he's the biggest supplier of meat to of cattle to Zambia. He has a
Okay,
number
doesn't
of.
he own part of Zambia?
I'm not
The
sure about
company,
that.
so the company, the rumor is, oh, look at me now, Lord. The rumor is one of the companies he has stocks in has stocks in Zambia. That's a chain. But yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I
maybe.
kind of think. Why do I feel like I should cut this out? My goodness. Please go on.
Yeah, so these are it's a people who have a number of assets, a well diversified portfolio. they are living in abundance. You can't play with them. You can't touch them, right? Yeah. So I think those are the definitions I'll give. But obviously, they'll be different from person to person. I think the lines are really, really, really thin, right? Especially when you look at rich and wealthy, right? The lines are really thin. But I think those are the main distinctions between these four states. Yeah.
I like that. I had my whole moment on that one. But I always think we need to always know the distinctions. Like, you need to know the difference so you know what you're speaking to and where you are as a person, right? Like, if you can't meet your needs, but you have a roof over your head and you have food in the house and everything, you're not poor. Like, you meet the basic. Anybody that has the basic isn't poor. You might just lack money. And that is also can be broken down in different parts. So you might be broke now because you just don't have money and you have investments, or you're just broke and you're waiting for your salary. But yeah, that makes you broke. And I think my favorite is rich people. So majority of rich people come from the salary side, right? If you take away the salary, they stop being rich. So rich people can be wealthy people if they know how to invest. So you can move from being rich to wealthy if you invest. You have different portfolios of investments that if your job is taken away from you, you can still sustain your lifestyle. That's not wealthy is like, can you just sustain your lifestyle? Can you pack your bags and leave? Can you quit your job? You know? I think we don't have enough conversations to know the difference, because we're calling everybody rich, we're calling everybody broke. Me, I'm not though. Like, also, I'm that person who I don't say broke, because me and my friend Miriam, we have this thing where we don't say the B word, but for the podcast, I will. I just say I don't have money now, right? And sometimes I also measure the level of brokenness I am at every year. I'm better this year than last year, so obviously, I probably did something different. I need to move to a different level next year. I think after 2025, I'll stop being broke. But also, brokenness is just, can you meet certain demands instantly? Or do you have to delay them? Generally, it depends. Let's play around some few words again, which is...
Okay, wait, before we move on, something I'd like to point out as well. I think one of the distinguishing factor between rich and wealthy is that most of the times we judge people as rich looking at how much they spend, right? So if you see me buying a Lamborghini today, you'd be like, oh, no, that guy is rich. You see me going out of ShopRite with six trolleys, you say, oh, that guy is rich, because I'm looking at it from how much I'm spending, right? But the wealth, wealth is not really seen, because you won't see me in town walking with the number of stocks I have on my back or how much I have in my bank account, right? I think that's one factor that distinguishes the two. One is judged from how much they spend.
What's visual?
From the assets that they have.
And a good example is our president. Do you remember that meme we had about him and a small phone? We just shared the whole entire, but that was a meme. It's public knowledge. We all laughed about it. No one ever said this man is very wealthy. Where does he have this small phone? No one said that. But again, at least we already know it when it comes to him. But it's like a very good thing to look at. Like, a lot of wealthy people, we don't know them.
They are very silent.
They're very silent. I will not be silent when I'm wealthy, but yeah, sure. I would like to play around with two words. What's an asset and what's a liability when it comes to personal finance? Like, when it comes to you, like, what do you think those two words actually mean? And what's the difference? Yeah.
I think the simplest definition comes from Robert Kiyosaki when he says, an asset is...
I was waiting for that. Because if you're going to say anything else, I was just going to go like, wow, okay, There goes me liking you.
So yeah, Robert Kiyosaki gives us a very simple understanding of these two words. An asset is anything that puts money in your pocket. A liability is anything that takes money out of your pocket. But I think we can try to expand more on this because this can be very misleading again. Because you think of a sugar daddy as an asset, you think of
Well,
as a
shit.
liability.
He is though.
He is.
To a certain extent, it depends how you look at it. I'm not advocating for sugar daddies, but I'm saying he could be an asset. If he's bringing more than he's taking, which is rare, but he yeah.
I have a friend. I have a friend who is she's a female, and she okay, she's those types of girls that would sleep around with a lot of guys for money, right? And then at some point I was asking her, but I think you've changed now. What happened? And she was saying, you know what? These guys, I came to understand that if someone can meet you the same day, right? And they'll take you out, let's say, whatever the most expensive hotel in Lusaka is it Intercontinental or the Coram or whatever. They take you out, they buy you the latest iPhone, they fly you to Dubai within just a few days of meeting them, right? And then she said, I came to understand that they're obviously taking more than they are giving you, right? So to some extent, especially when you're a spiritual person, you understand that, but for someone who has only met you in 3 days, they buy you an iPhone 16, they take you out to Dubai.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot going on. And I also think we don't. It's a cost benefit, right? Like, what's the cost and what's the benefit for this? You look at it at your point of view. You also try to analyze that at somebody else's point of view to say, because they're also thinking about it. You know what I mean? So you now start assuming to say, for the other person, they are spending, let's say, 100 pin on me in 3 days. What are they truly getting, right? It can't be worse now. You know what I mean? Like, no. The only thing. So no, like I get the point, but yeah, it's interesting. Like, so even for assets and liabilities, it's always cost benefit analysis that we always have to put in play in life in general. Just have the cost benefit analysis in your head, because then it just, yeah.
So we need to explain those, right? So an asset also has to do with investing, right? So when you get a sugar daddy, what have you invested, right? When you talk of liabilities again, because people will be like, in fact, I actually saw a video where after this guy reached that poor dad, he was talking to his girlfriend like, you know, I think we need to break up. Why? No, you're a liability. You're taking money out of my pockets, right? So,
The reason why you break up, guys. Interesting.
like to break up.
Yeah.
So we need to define these also more as well. So when you look at an asset, right? An asset we're talking about, usually it's in the investing brackets, right? So you put something and you reap something, right? You plant something, you reap out something. So I think of an asset as a place where you put money, right? Where you put cash, that cash is converted to money, and that money can grow, and then you can redeem that money back in form of cash. That's how I think of it. All right. So, in that regard, for example, let's say you buy a car, right? Meaning you've lost money there, but it has come back as a car, and that car can generate money for you, right? Because you're providing a service. That's a service you're providing. And that's the service that is making more money. And that money can be converted back to cash and given back to you, right? Reliability, on the other hand, is one from Kiyosaki's definition, one that is taking money out of your pocket, right? But it's not that simple, right? An asset could turn out to be a liability if it loses you money, right? So you might put money in this business and you lose entirely all of it, right? So that can turn out also to be a liability. So from just that simple context of saying an asset is something that puts money in your pocket, hey, we could deceive a lot of people, guys, right? And a liability is something that takes money away from your pocket. You could also deceive a lot of people because there's also this thing called black tax, right? You send something to your mother, to your parents, to your siblings. Yeah, if we start thinking of that in terms of liabilities, guys, a lot of people are liabilities because
Liabilities, it's just not money. It's literally my time. I'm just like, oh my goodness. Wow. Yeah, I like that. I like that. But one thing I love about Robert Kiyosaki, if you follow his work and you actually read his books, you now start to learn what liabilities are, right? I'll give an example. If they tell you to say buy a house, that's an asset.
Yes.
That could be an asset, right? But it's still costing you money. It's still going to cost you maintenance money, all the money you still need to maintain that house. So it might turn out to be a liability, right?
Exactly.
So it's, how can I put this? You kind of have to read Robert Kiyosaki's work to actually understand it. You can't just make an assumption. Because even people say, because again in Zambia, the heaviest thing is, even my people advise me, oh, you need to buy land, you need to build a house, like you need to do this and this and this and this. And for me, I'm like, okay, I'm young, I'm not risk averse, I'm a risk taker and everything. It doesn't add up for me to buy that. So I think a lot of people don't know the difference on what an asset and liability is. It also differs with context, like you said, because a lot is going on.
And I think the other easier way to understand is that an asset appreciates in value, a liability depreciates in value. So it's Robert Kiyosaki who said the poor and the middle class buy liabilities thinking they're assets, right? So when somebody buys a car, they say, no, at least this is an asset, right? Of course, it's an asset, but immediately you buy a car, if it's like for personal use, the moment you buy a car,
Appreciate
it
value.
depreciates value, right? And the more mileage you put on the car, the more it depreciates. So even if you were to sell it later, you're selling it at a lower price, meaning you've made a loss, right? So assets appreciate in value, liabilities depreciate in value. I think that one clarifies it even more.
And also it goes to like the rich and the poor, broke, rich, wealthy people. So rich, wealthy people buy assets. Things that make them more wealthy. And
Yes.
mostly the rich and the broke buy things that make them look wealthy, right? Like you get the latest iPhone, you get the Gucci clothes, things you can't afford, but because they make you look wealthy or rich is what you buy. Wealthy people will buy stocks in a company, buy a company. Like they do buy an estate. Like it's a very interesting jargon to be part of. I want to be part of the wealthy club though, just to learn, just to take notes. But it's very, we don't have enough conversations of the differences. Because even for me, I know if I'm walking in a store and I'm buying the same thing again, I have it at home. I know there's a problem, right? It's, yeah, it's interesting to see anyway.
Very interesting.
So, what inspired you to get into financial literacy?
Okay, so if I were to start like from the beginning, it was 2019. Yeah. 2019, I went through a heartbreak. I was heartbroken by this.
I know how those feel.
Yeah. This girl that I loved so much. I actually thought I was going to marry this girl. And then she went to school. After she went to school, she was like, no, I can't do this anymore. I was heartbroken. And from that moment, that's when I started my self-development journey. All right. I started running, started working out. And I remember the first book I actually read. I've always been a reader my life, but I wasn't reading very actively. But the one I actually read actively, and I was even taking notes. I read from cover to cover, is the book. I think it was called You Can Heal Your Soul by Louise Hay, right? And from that moment, I started reading a number of books. I stumbled across Rich Dad Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. I started following Robert Kiyosaki. I read The Richest Man in Babylon. Dave Ramsey's, what's the name of that book? The Total Money Makeover. And from that point, I got interested in the stock market, right? But the thing for me is that, you know, when you're reading stuff and it's American based, right? What I wanted to do was to make money, but I didn't understand that the stock market was for growing money, right? So I got immersed in the stock market, started learning everything, everything, everything. And I got to a point where I was like, okay, now let me start investing. I made my first investment, should be the next year. Yeah. If not the next year, like, if not late 2020, early 2021, I made my first investment. And at that time, the books I was reading usually were about financial literacy. I read a number of books about financial literacy, and I would get my books from Instagram. That's basically what I was using Instagram for. I was following a lot of people that were reading books. And that's also how I even started my page, right? Because I felt like I needed to share what I was learning. That's even how I started my page. Then at first it was called Kwacha Trend. Yeah, Kwacha Trend, and I changed the name to Mr. Mbandu. So that was the genesis of my financial literacy. But soon I came to understand that, you know, I'm not making any money in the stock market. Because I invested in CEC, I invested in Zambia, I invested in this, but it hadn't grown to a point where I would, if I were to withdraw, like cash out my stock, still wouldn't make a lot of money, right? So I had to go back, right, again to making money, increasing my income, right? I tried a few businesses which failed. Tried this, tried that, which failed. I monetized my page, which has been doing great, by the way. But it's just in its beginning stage again. So that's what sparked my interest. I was actually broke the moment I started reading about financial literacy. I remember I was working at this place. I just graduated 2018. In 2019, I was working at this place called Super, where I was getting paid about, was it 40 kwacha a day? I think so, 40 kwacha a day. The first thing that I started doing was saving. I was saving through Patumba. Any amount I would get, a 5 kwacha, a 3 kwacha, a 20 kwacha, I would save. Right, and saving was my beginning, actually, of in terms of practicality of financial literacy. Yeah, so from there, then I started investing, and then I had to go back to looking at my income again. How can I improve it? So that's basically how it all started for me.
I like the differences of what you're saying because that's more like me. For me, a lot of people would say, why don't you invest in stock and everything? I'm like, I don't have enough capital for that. I would rather play around with my money with business
All
than
right.
invest it because I know my mentor was very smart in the beginning because I like to save, right? But I know you have to save then invest. So he was like, if you save that much now to make nothing for you, you might as well keep saving. Like, oh no, if you invest that now, it won't like make much for you, right? So you're better off reinvesting it in a business then keep saving to increase the amount so that you can invest it in something, and that would give you more returns. Because I think everybody now, there's so much hype about investment that with the hype, everybody's doing it. Now, with everybody doing it, what's happening is.
Recording in progress.
So what happened? Okay, that's an echo. Sorry. This is about to go off. My laptop is about to go off, so I'm switching to my phone. So
Okay.
yeah. So what happened was I decided to invest more money in my perfume business, which was doing great at the time. Now I'm just taking a break. It was doing great at the time. I invested in that and I made more money, right? To actually do other stuff. So it's, and also it depends what somebody likes. Like it depends with where you are on the risk spectrum. Like I'm a very risky person. Like I want to make more money. And also it depends what your overall net worth you want, what you want your overall net worth to be, if that makes sense. So it's a different game, but it's very fun.
So you also need to understand if what you need is to make money or grow money, right?
Yeah.
So if you are starting a business, is it to make money or is it to grow money, right? If you do not have any money yet to grow, I advise people you first look at making money.
Yeah, and I get it. I think for me, my goal is to make money because I don't have any money. So I can't grow something I don't have. So it's like you said, let's give an example of Elon Musk, right? Certain people are deemed wealthy because they, a lot of Westerners anyway, they own a company that is wealthy, that is very successful, and it's a unicorn, right? So for me also is, if I can grow my company to become unicorn, I'm automatically going to become wealthy. Okay, so it's been great talking to you, Malele. I have learned so much. It was such a down-to-earth conversation. It didn't go as planned. You know, I had questions and I didn't even use them because we really just had our moment, which I love on this podcast. So we're coming to the end, and I would like you to give you an opportunity to ask me a question.
Okay, so there's one question I've always wanted to ask. Why the name Pretty Billionaire on your
By
Instagram?
the way, people already asked this question. By the way, I'm gonna answer it, but you need to find another question because two people asked it already. But why the name? Maybe I'll answer it differently. Because I'm manifesting being a billionaire. It's been my dream. I just want to be a billionaire. Like, I want to own a unicorn. I want to be on Forbes. I want to live a life of abundance, which will look differently. I know how it feels to lack. And I also just want generational wealth for the rest, for the next generations. You know what I mean? Like I feel like I'm just manifesting that for myself. It's a reminder to say, you don't like this now, but hey, your goal is to be a billionaire one day. So I'm kind of manifesting that, and yeah, maybe that's why I try to get into the big league games somehow or learn what they are doing, because I'm like, I want to be like you. And yeah, so eventually I'll be a billionaire. Yeah, eventually. But yeah, it will make sense.
That's billionaire in USD, not kwacha.
Why would it be in kwacha? I can't be having kwacha problems. I still have a problem with my kwacha problem. Yeah, but it's gonna be billionaire in SD, in euros, whichever, but definitely not my currency. But yeah, that's why.
Okay, no, I'm excited to see that happened for you.
Yeah, let's give it 20 years. It's a long game.
Even
It's a
shorter.
very long game. Maybe I'll just have a boom and I get, okay, It depends anyway. But
Okay.
because you asked a question you people already asked, do you have any other question you want to ask me?
Let's see. Okay, maybe I would ask this question as someone who's aspiring to be a billionaire, a pretty billionaire. I think you've gotten the pretty already. Yeah, I only remain with
Thanks.
the
Thanks.
billionaire.
I'll take that as a compliment. Thank you.
Yeah. So you said you're 24, right? So what are you doing now to ensure that vision of being a billionaire in USD, in Euro, is a
Which
reality?
if, yeah. I'm building a company, the company called Tonse Management, right? And I'll probably be doing a few other stuff on the side because I don't only depend on the money I make from the company, right? So yeah, I'm building a company. So the whole essence is making this company very successful because I know if it's successful, I would be successful. And we're working on amazing projects. It's very interesting. when you're building a company, because you always have to pivot, always have something new to learn. So yeah, I intend to do it through business, right? Like through business and investment. So the first 5 years is probably going to be investment business, trying to make sure this startup can actually grow to a point where we hire people and it's sustainable on its own. And I have my income and I'm okay financially. Then I'll start playing around with investing in other companies too. So it's actually, I find running a business fun. It's a thrill, right? So in 5 to 10 years, it's building this business to capacity. Because one of my things also is like I would like to have a venture capital. So it's
Okay,
building a
how's that?
venture capital in Zambia. I don't know how. But Tose will help with that. So it's having a venture capital and also investing in businesses in Zambia and Africa. There's so much potential and there's so much risk. I think if I can learn to navigate the African business cycle and do it nicely, I'd probably be more willing to take more risks to invest in businesses. Like we don't have. Why so many businesses in Zambia or Africa are failing is a lack of capital. And
Yeah,
because
that's true.
sometimes we're using Western principles in African setups, that's not working out. So we need to create our own principles and we kind of need businesses in Africa that understand the setup in Africa to invest in themselves. But the only way you can do that is if you're very successful and you can do that. So yeah, so it's gonna be an interesting game to see how it falls back off plays out in a few years. But yeah, that's like the whole vision. Like I even know which directions to take.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I'd also like to hear the mindset part of what you're building. How are you keeping yourself staying, or what keeps you driving? I think earlier we talked about, being able to show up even when you're going through
Yeah.
grief and all of those things. Tell me about the mindset side of that.
I have to admit, I really have a good community of family and friends. My friends have an idea of what I'm doing, might not totally agree to it, but they have an idea of what I'm trying to build. I'm not always as forthcoming as they get. I think my family is just supportive. They don't agree. It's okay, but they're very supportive. Yeah, it's like, okay, cool. If that makes you happy, like you have your money conversations, right? No one ever knows how much I earn a month. Sometimes I earn more, sometimes I earn less, right? But because I'm good at planning and I'm good at managing myself and my money, I never lack, for a better of lack of better terms. So yeah, it's that. And sometimes I also feel like I was born for greatness. A lot of us say that, but my grandfather used to say that to me a lot. And
a lot of things just feel like we're settling. There's this Zambian dream where you get married to somebody, build a house, and have a car. And when I talk to my friends or just my family, I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna be that auntie with the private jet and the kids are going to Paris with. You know what I mean? Like I love to give back. I love my family and I want to be in a position where I can do that and my bank account doesn't feel like it's lacking. Like my bank account doesn't feel the pinch of me hanging out with all my nephews and nieces. Me like just me being me in my fullest requires me to really just accumulate that amount of wealth. And again, guys, sometimes you don't need so much money to be happy or do stuff for your family, right? So like that's also something people need to understand. Like you don't need so much to do what you want. I've just made the decision that I want to strive to that for myself. And then, yeah, we'll see how I feel about it afterwards. Because I also feel like, you know how rich people tell us, like, you don't need money, but you have money. What do you mean the rest of us should put our mental health first? But you guys have money. You didn't put your mental health first. Sound right, guys. Right? The successful people are saying mental health now. But they were not doing that 10 years ago. You know what I mean? So, yeah, it's just also breaking the barriers for me. I feel like if I do this right, it will open a lot of doors for people in my life. And a lot of doors for people that would work for my organization and be part of the community or the amount of impact I'll have for people. Because I also feel like it's the amount of impact. Like the goal is to work with so many young people and help them reach their full potential in different capacities. So I really can't wait to navigate that and learn more about it in different, like it just keeps getting better. And I look at my work this year and I'm like, I can't believe I did that. But the turmoil I went through this year, like, oh, I did that doesn't look like me in bad grade. Oh yeah, it's that. It's I'm just intrigued.
Okay,
Honestly, I just want to own a private jet and an island too, so like
you're a billionaire.
like when people say I'm wasting money, sure, no, I get it, but I still wanted to do it.
No, I understand, and I also think I've liked about you just from observing your socials is when you say your tribe, your community. I think you have quite a well diversified community or a well diversified mix of friends. Because even when I was checking out your podcast, I was looking at the guests that you have, very dynamic, like very different, right? And I think it's very rich when you have a community like that, because you have a lot of vessels to draw from, right? You have a lot of people pouring into you, and of course it's an exchange, you also pour into them as well, which is very good for when we're talking about mindset, even this mental health thing. It's very good. So I really commend you for that. It's very interesting. It's very nice to see.
I like it, and thank you so much. And to be honest, the podcast is a definite of like of my friends, right? Like I have people reaching out because they heard my friend on the podcast, and it's fun to kind of have something you can just bring everybody on and enjoy. You know what I mean? I don't even get it. I didn't know I had so many people in my life till I had a podcast, and I'm like, okay. Sometimes I'm like, am I bringing a friend on a podcast? Like, should I bring a relative on a podcast? Because I also have like a community of people doing amazing work that I'm always just like, okay. I can't wait to share that on the podcast. And also, people have been very supportive. So it's kind of fun. And also, I just realized that, okay, I can't believe I've had more than five countries on this podcast in a year. It's like, how do I know all these people?
Wow, And that's worth celebrating.
And I'm like, now I do it country by country. I'm like, okay, so I need somebody from this, from this, from this. And I'm like, how do I know all of you again? Like, how do I? It doesn't add up, but it's great. I think I have 5 countries now, and the audience is amazing, and I like it, and I'm trying to grow it. So I can't wait to see what 2025 has in store for just the company and the podcast. Yeah.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Can I ask one last question, please?
Sure.
It's something I've always wondered about people who do podcasts. You have quite a diversified, should I say portfolio? There's the word that's in my mind is portfolio. Anyway, portfolio of friends, and you are learning so much from all of these. There's a lot of people pouring into you. Do you sometimes feel the pressure, because there's so much information that is coming towards you? Do you sometimes feel the pressure to perform based on how much you know, right? On how much you are learning from all of these people that you have as guests?
No, I don't. How can I put this? So for me, it's more of accumulated knowledge, right? So I enjoy having conversations. I'll probably take one or two things I agree with and would like to implement with my life. I think I also... So there's this part. There's the part of me, you and I, recording this now, right? And there's the other part of me when I'm listening to a podcast. So what happens when I'm listening to a podcast? It stops being about me, that I was the guest. It's just being like, I am just part of the audience. Do I like this podcast? Like, what am I learning this week from the Diary 101 podcast? Not that, what am I learning this week from my podcast? It's, what am I learning from this podcast? Like, from any other podcast I've been learning. And sometimes it's, what am I rethinking, right? So I actually enjoy listening to the to this podcast, actually. So when I listen to this episode, I'm like, yo, me and him said that. Like, that sounds like my voice. That definitely sounds like me. I enjoy that. I like being on the other side and being a spectator. And the other thing is, I don't think I'll see the impact of the podcast now. I don't know if that makes sense, but I accumulate so much knowledge. It's hard to track. It's hard to track where I'm at as a person. But I think as I do look at things differently, my listening skills have improved, my communication skills have improved. Like, I can see, like, oh, these are like the main reasons why I was starting a podcast, and I'm improving and improving. I see that, but I know there's like the bigger impact that others might actually be able to see that I don't, but I'll probably realize it like 5 years later to say, ah, okay, so this was because of the podcast. So it's hard to track. I don't feel the pressure. I really have good guests and I have amazing conversations with. I just don't. I also switch up very quickly. So I don't feel the pressure, but just like any other podcast, I enjoy listening to eat every week. On the other side too, I like being a spectator. I also get screenshots of like, damn, man, I said that. That's so smart. Like, the same way I do it with other podcasts. So I don't know. Like, I don't know if I answered the question, but I think I will probably see the I wouldn't say pressure, but I'll probably get to see the growth in 5 years. And a lot of people in my life have saying, oh, like, you've really grown, like how you articulate yourself, how you pronounce words, how you say stuff, how you connect stuff in your head. Like, it's a whole thing. I think a lot of maybe people closest to me outside can see the growth more. I just think it's a day, it's a weekly thing. It's a weekly thing. It's no more. Moving on.
You know, yeah. I really like what you said, especially the part where you have to be expectators, like you've taken a different perspective from being the host to now just being a listener, right? Yeah. It's very interesting. And now it makes sense. I think there was a time I was talking to Olivia Tutu about her podcast, and she was like, Austin, I'm looking forward to listening to this episode. And she's like, I'm also looking forward to it. I'm like, but what do you mean? You were the host. right? I think now
it makes but it's sense. Different, you know what I mean? Like, it's different because I was the host, I was part of the conversation. Now I'm not. Now I just want to listen to what this conversation is about. What can I learn from it? What are my key takeaways? Where am I as a person after this conversation? Like, again, podcasting is amazing. I think we need to like invest more in it. So it's great. I can't wait. I'm about to listen to the episode that was released today. And that sometimes the episodes I'm so scared to listen to because they were so raw. You know what I mean? I feel so exposed. I feel like my insecurities are everywhere. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I can't believe I've been exposed to the world like that. People now know me like that. So
I get you. I get you. Then the other thing I liked that you said is when you said you won't see the impact now. And that's true, right? I think there's this book that I was reading, The Power of the Subconscious Mind, which says the subconscious remembers everything, right? So there's a part of that remembers everything from every podcast, right? And some of that information, you are not aware of it consciously, but it is there in your subconscious, which will ultimately affect your behavior. So you find that you'll be good at certain things without having to consciously do or put in effort. Right. So yes, I agree. And that's why sometimes when it comes to reading books, I like to read books randomly. Right. Any book I find on, I'll start reading it randomly. And I'm saying, okay, if I don't remember this consciously, my subconscious will be able to remember it. So yeah, it's very true. You may not see the impact right now through your behavior or even through other people's behaviors, but ultimately as time goes on, you will be able to see it. You might not even know, oh, this is from this
guest,
but it will be able to show eventually. Yeah.
And it's something my mentor was trying to convince me that I'm good at talking to people for 3 years. He's like, you're so good at conversations, Aka. You're so good at conversations. Now I see it because I have a podcast and everybody's like, oh my goodness, you're so good at this. So I go back to him and like, okay, so this is my feedback. He's like, oh, goodness, 3 years later. And something I like about James Clear, he says everything you do is a vote against or for the person you want to become, right? Yeah. So sometimes me showing up for this meeting, me doing what I'm supposed to do for my business is a vote of thanks for what I want to become. So I always think about that to say there's a reason why I'm having a podcast. Probably will have it for the rest of my life, probably won't, but it's a vote of thanks to the person I want to become. So yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Oh my goodness, that was so good. Those are good questions. That, like five? Someone, I know somebody's going to be very jealous. You have reached the limit of questions. Everybody's going to go, okay. I'm about to take somebody to say, somebody did it better than you. Look at you. My last question to you, Malele, is, what do you look forward to?
Overall?
Yeah, overall and 2025.
Okay, 2025, I'm looking forward to, I think I've been doing like a life audit, not just in my head the last few days. I don't think I did well for 2024. In as much as I achieved a number of things that I can be proud of, but you know, there's success that comes. How can I put it? Like, you didn't put in the work like you wanted to, but something just happened. All right. So what I'm looking for in 2025 is being very, very intentional. Right. For the first time in my life, I've even made a vision board. Right. I really want to be intentional. The things that I've planned, the things that I'm wishing for, I want to make clear plans, set smart goals, and also know that those plans will be exceeded by my God. Those goals will be exceeded by my God. So I'm really excited for 2025. There's so much I'm looking forward to. But one thing I really want to be for 2025 is being very, very intentional with my life. I mean, also I use the 12 areas of life by John
Yeah.
Butcher. Yeah. So that's in all areas of in all 12 areas of my life, I really want to be intentional next year. In fact, starting this year, because I can't wait for next year. We still have a number of
Yeah.
days. So months. I am being very intentional. Yeah.
I like that. I like that. I've not gotten to a point where I want to do my audit yet, but I know I'll get to a point where I'm gonna do my audit. I think I survived this year, which is great, honestly, with everything that happened. I'm so grateful that I'm alive. A lot of people think I'm dramatic when I say that, but it takes a lot for somebody to be alive as an adult. Yeah.
It really does.
We should all get awards or cakes for being alive. So yeah, I think other people's perception is that I did so well this year, and mine, against my standard, I'm thinking I didn't do so well. So it's like a double thing where people are telling you did well, and I'm like, no, I didn't. I don't feel like I did well. So I think for me, it's gonna be sitting down and looking through my goals. Because a lot of things on my vision board are ticked, actually. I've had a vision board for 2 years.
Wonderful.
So I've had the same vision board for 2 years. I might keep it for a third year or might have a new one, but I've had the same vision board for 2 years. Because I also think we always think that you have to change your goals all the time. You could just want to stick to a few stuff for a few years. So yeah.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I had mine for 2 years. So it looks good. I might need to tick off some stuff. I might need a new one for next year, but we'll see. This
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
was great. I
Yeah,
loved
in one.
every minute of this. Yeah, I loved every minute, and I hope you enjoyed the whole process. And yeah, I hope you enjoyed it, because I did, to be honest.
I actually enjoyed it as well, and I think for the very first time in my life, I wasn't nervous to do such a thing. You know, I think the very first interview I had, I was very, very nervous. You know, the kind
Yeah.
of why you keep forgetting words, you keep forgetting
Yeah.
everything. You know, yeah. And but this one, I've really been relaxed. I've enjoyed the conversation. I've enjoyed everything we've talked about. Yeah, it's been nice. It's been great.
I'm glad you enjoyed it, and for everybody listening, I hope you enjoyed it. It was just an easy conversation. I love how the Diary on One podcast has easy conversations. They get intense sometimes, but it's such an easy conversation to have. You can relate, you can laugh, you can ask, is she okay for talking about the president? Kind of conversations, but again, you can relate. Can read memes too, though.
Yeah.
So I'm so happy that you got to do this, Manene. And for everybody listening, I'm so glad you made it at the end. I hope you share it with a friend and a friend and family members, and just start having real conversations about money. And yeah, I hope you enjoy it. So from us, that is bye for now.